Our scripture this morning comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 12. Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the ordinances that the Lord your God charged me to teach you to observe in the land that you are about to cross into and occupy, so that you and your children's children may fear the Lord your God all the days of your life and keep all his decrees and his commandments that I am commanding you, so that your days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe them diligently, so that it may go well with you, and so that you may multiply greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, has promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them with your children and talk about them when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand. Fix them as an emblem on your forehead and write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. The Lord your God has brought you into the land that he swore to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob to give you. A land with fine, large cities that you did not build, houses filled with all sorts of goods that you did not fill, hewn cisterns that you did not hew, vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. And when you have eaten your fill, take care that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. There are parts of that scripture that are familiar to us, and maybe parts of that scripture that we don't often hear. My question for you this morning is, where do you spend most of your life? Where do you spend most of the time in your life? If you had to write down exactly where you spend the most time in your life, what would it look like? Would it be work, time at home, grocery shopping, kids, sports, etc.? If you were to look at your life today and look where you spend your most time, what does your life look like right now? In fact, if you got a bulletin this morning and you also got a pencil or a Sharpie, there was something in there. And if you didn't get one, go ahead and raise your hand. I'm going to ask our ushers to help. I would like to take just a moment for you to write down what your time is most used for this morning. There's a time side. Go ahead, write down three or four. There's space for many, so if you have many things that you use to occupy your time, let's take just a moment and write where you use most of your time. You can keep writing if you're still writing. At my last church in Grosse Pointe, we had a children's time like we have here, but it was usually the pastor who was not preaching that would do the children's time, and so sometimes our children's time would become more and more elaborate, and so we always tried to make them really interactive. And I remember one time I asked kids, I had an orange with me, and I opened the orange and I said, "Tell me where you spend all of your time." And I opened up the orange and they said, "Sports." So I took out a piece of the orange and I set it aside. They said, "Homework." Homework, TV, playing with my friends, etc., etc., etc. And I got to the end and the orange was empty. And I said, "You're all here at church, but none of you said church or God." And they said, oh no, we forgot. So I said, "Hold on, I'll help." And I took the pieces of the orange and I went behind the altar and I grabbed a big piece of duct tape and I ducked down behind the altar and pretended like I was taping it back together, and I came back with a brand new orange. I said, "All right, we're going to try this again." And I peeled the orange. I said, "Where do you spend your most amount of time?" And of course, then it was church, reading the Bible, going to Sunday school, praying with my family. I was like, "All right, you got the point, but now we're getting a little extreme." But sometimes when we think about where we spend our time, it doesn't always match with where we put our value. When we look back in the time of the Israelites in this scripture in Deuteronomy, it's hard to know immediately where people spent their time. We can read around it and get some context clues. We read lots of laws against violence, lots of laws about not coveting your neighbor's stuff, lots of dietary laws, lots of attention to sexuality in the Old Testament. And it sounds like people who had not inherited the time-squashing reality of TV or the internet. When I look at the history of the base of our religion, I see a people who were deeply trying to follow God, trying to survive, trying to continue this culture. And so when the scripture today talks about how to live, it says, teach your children, keep it on the post of your door, write it on your forehead, and then you will follow God and live a long time. They were trying to make sure that they could continue to exist over time, which I read when I read the Levitical laws and Deuteronomy, which I generally try not to do too often. I see this complicated culture that were in the throes of many difficult situations, trying their very best to honor God, but also to protect their own. This is the same basic truth of every culture across time, especially when faced with trauma and danger. And so we come to this scripture in Deuteronomy, and it begins by saying, now this is the commandment, the statutes and the ordinances that the Lord your God has charged me to teach you and to observe in the land that you are about to cross into. So teach your children. You may fear the Lord your God all the days of your life and keep all his decrees and his commandments that I am commanding you so that your days may be long. I see these words, and this call is for a reason. These laws are there for a reason. If you follow them and you fear God, then you have a chance to live a long life and teach your kids to do the same. This is where our current 21st century America has a strong disconnect to these words, in my opinion. Oftentimes, we aren't looking to our religious laws in fear and trembling related to our view of God. And there are very few in our context who are following the rules in order to just survive and procreate, to carry on the values of life of our Christian culture. We live in a different time and place. It makes it easy for us to diminish or dismiss some of the laws that we read or the intensity of the language. We can say, that was a different time. But I'm thankful for Jesus because we don't have to follow those laws anymore, is what we can often justify. Instead, maybe we should say these people who lived, the people of Israel at this time in Deuteronomy had already lived in slavery, had been in exile, were conquered by their enemies more than once. They lived in the wilderness. These resilient people of God were doing all that they could to survive. And so one of the ways they did so was to remind themselves to look to God and to be staying grounded in the laws. Still, we can identify even more when we start to see the rest of the picture of the Old Testament, the words that Jesus often quoted, the values were immersed in our heritage much earlier than we often believe. If we look deeper into this scripture, I also see the beginning of a movement in which Jesus would embrace and push forward with his ministry and his message. Our scripture moves today from that call to obey God only and to live in fear just to survive, to a much more familiar verse by verse 5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. We know these words because this is the first of two laws that Jesus names in the greatest law discussion in Matthew 22. It's here in Deuteronomy. It relates to a community still in transition, but claiming at its core something that we claim today as truth. And later in the same Old Testament books that we often try not to read, we find a lot of the things that we follow today. We find a rule for the strength of community right in the midst of Leviticus. In Leviticus 19:18, it says, "You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against us, the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And so we see in Deuteronomy the words, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your might. And then later in Leviticus, we see you shall not take vengeance, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. This is law number 2 in Matthew 22. In the same rule book that we tend to look away from, we see this thread of importance and value that starts very early in our history and then echoes through to the ministry of Christ. Those words in Matthew 22, 36 through 40. Teacher, which commandment is the law is the greatest? And he said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and the first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. These are the words of Jesus in Matthew 22. The people of Israel shared these rules to live into their community, to survive, to persevere, to have faith, to love God and to love their neighbor. But Christ, even though he's sharing these words, is bringing new purpose. As Christ shares them with this scriptural lawyer, this Sadducee who's asking him these questions to test him, Christ answers with the same biblical truth that he would have known. Christ would have known the scriptures and their importance not only as the Son of God, but also as a Jewish man who had studied. But he changes them. In the fullness of his ministry and in the teaching of his disciples, he expands the circle. He is no longer about just the Jewish community alone, but he's talking about the community of the world, all people. We are to love God and to love our neighbors. But he's not talking just about survival or keeping the same community. He's talking about an invitation to all. Christ goes on at the end of Matthew to put that expectation squarely on those who believe and listen, first telling the disciples that the Holy Spirit was coming to bless them and that they themselves would carry those same values forward, to love God and also to love their neighbor, and then telling them to go out and tell everybody, and that all who would believe should live by these same values, so that even though our community has changed and grows, the basic tenets of who we are, of who we are called to be, has not changed since early in our Christian history, all the way back to those people of Israel trying to follow God. And the disciples share that story and those values with the early church, and Paul, upon encountering Christ, begins to teach in Christ's name. And the early church evolves and grows, and they live their faith and they begin to welcome others, not without disagreement, but Gentiles and Jews begin to become part of that community, and the church continues to grow, and eventually the same values echoed all the way across time, those same values of loving God and loving neighbor, which Christ says all the law and the prophets hang upon. All that is and all that we can anticipate hangs in the balance of the values that were there from the very early time. Sometimes we have to be reminded of the way that God is already working in our lives and be reminded that we may not be in survival mode, but that we are tasked with the responsibility of carrying our values of loving God and loving neighbor. Values are often interpreted, inherited, contextualized, but the base of our value often comes from the same place: care for our families, our religion, our communities, our safety, our success. But sometimes we also need to move to trusting God in order to live out the values that have been placed upon us to love God and to love neighbor. We started with talking about the way that we spend our time. Now, I would like you to take just a moment or two on the other side of that page that says values. And what I would like you to do is to write down just a few of your top values. What do you value most in your life? Let's take just a moment and write down what we value most in our life. So the question is simple. When you look at your list of where you spend the most time, and you look at the list of what you value most, how do those lists line up? Do your time and your value line up together? If so, what has allowed you to do that in your life? I would ask you to think and reflect upon that. If you look at your list and you think, no, they don't necessarily match up as much as I would hope, I think the question for you this week is, what do you need to do? What do you need to attend to in order for your time and your values to line up better for you? We carry the values of our families, our communities, our religion, those who have come before us. The question then is, how do we live out our values in our daily lives? And is that where we're putting the most energy? When Jesus came, he moved us from this reality of seeking to survive to this life of grace and abundance. Looking at our own lives today, we can ask ourselves, how can we live into the values of our history, of our tradition, of our current context? How can we honor God and honor our neighbors in all that we do? Let us bow our heads and pray. Holy God, we thank you for the gift of being able to look at our scriptural texts, even some that we don't always look to and don't always understand, but to see ourselves within them and to know that even when our lives may be inconsistent, your love for us is not. God, help us in all things, in all that we do, to honor you, to honor our neighbor, to live the love that you show to us, and to extend it to others so they may also know of your love and grace. God, help us to see our value in you and to live it out. In your holy name we pray. Amen.